Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 15. Here the word of God says, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord." Notice again there, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Very simply, this passage teaches us that both declaring a wicked person to be just and declaring a just person to be wicked, both of those are detestable to God. That's what that term abomination means. It's something that God hates. It's something that disgusts God. Of course, this theme of justice and properly discerning between right and wrong is very much throughout Scripture. Another very prominent passage that speaks to this theme is Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. And there God says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And so God doesn't just say, "Okay, I don't like it." He actually says, "Woe," which is a term of warning. In other words, watch out, because there's trouble coming if you're in that category of person. One who would call evil good and good evil. Why does God hate this so much? Why does God hate it when people call evil good and good evil? There are probably many reasons that we could state, but fundamentally, the reason God hates it is because God is himself a God of justice. His character is a just character. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. I won't call on my kids to recite this, but this is one of the verses that they are learning in school. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, speaking of God, it says this: "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." There, as this passage describes who God is, what his character is like, it states emphatically, all his ways are justice. He is a God of truth without injustice. Psalm 97, verse 2, states it this way: "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne." To be unjust, which is what you are being when you call an evil person just, or a good person evil, to be unjust is to sin against God's character. Now, this is a big deal for this reason. God created us in his image. God created us to be image bearers. As human beings, that is part of our mandate, to reflect God's character. When we are unjust, our reflection is not a reflection of God's character. There's a sense in which we are bearing false witness against God by our own actions. God hates injustice. So I want us to think about this in three arenas very quickly. Consider this truth in the following arenas, the following areas. First of all, public justice. Public justice. When I think about public justice, I want to think first of all about the laws that are passed and the laws that are applied. So you'll understand what I'm talking about here is I'm talking about our legislative system and our judicial system. God calls our leaders to be just in the laws that they pass and the laws that they apply and the way that they apply it. Look with me at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. Romans 13, verses 3 and 4 in the New Testament. Paul says this: rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. In these two verses, we see that those who are in authority, those whom God has placed in authority over us, have been delegated authority from God. They are God's ministers. Anytime you receive authority delegated from someone else, you're still responsible to that person. And you have to be careful how you use the authority that's been delegated to you. As you read through the Old Testament, in particular the major and minor prophets, you see over and over again where God speaks out against those who are leading the nation and says to them, "You're unjust, you're crooked, you're corrupt." God hates injustice. And our laws that are passed and applied. God's law is the true law. And as man who is in power, man who has been given power from God, is given that authority, they are called then to pass laws that are in keeping with God's law and character. Injustice, both in the laws that they pass and the way they apply them, is a violation of God's character. This is why, for example, in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 49, this is not the only passage where it says this, but in Exodus 12, 49, God says, you're going to only have one law among you. He says this to Old Testament Israel. There's one law. It's the same law for you who are Israelites and anyone who's just a stranger sojourning among you. One law. Why? For equity and justice. It doesn't matter, ultimately, what the laws of this land say if they are in violation of what God's law says. In other words, if the legal system, if our parliament drafts bills that put into place laws that excuse and allow and condone activity contrary to God's law, they stand under God's judgment for doing that. And if they apply laws that ought to reflect God's character in ways that are unequal, they also stand under God's condemnation and judgment. I think as we think about that, we would have to recognize that though our Western world is a lot better than other nations around the world, even still our Western world, Canada and the U.S., I'm thinking, very often applies laws unequally, hands down punishments unequally, puts into place laws that are a violation of God's character. So not only when we think about public justice do we think about laws passed and applied, but I think as well of the law of public opinion. And what I'm thinking of here is the media. We are manipulated every day by the media. It's the reality of it. The media manipulates. Even in quote-unquote reality television shows. My wife and I were remarking about this the other day. We're way behind on watching them, but we've recorded them. We've been watching America's Got Talent. So maybe some of you watch that show. And it's so obvious the way that the show manipulates the voters. You'll often see one contestant on the show who is given very little time as far as developing a backstory about what this person is like and who their friends are, and what difficulties they've had growing up, and what their parents think of them. Very, very little told about them. And then another contestant is given 5 or 10 minutes of backstory before they even begin to perform. We're constantly being manipulated. We're not just manipulated in terms of who we might vote for on a contestant show like that. We're often often being manipulated by the media. The media's bias often calls into question the character of people who are just, on one hand, or exonerates and exalts people who are of wicked character. And God looks upon that, and he says that's an abomination. You know, the reality is that should our nation come under the tumultuous type of judgment that the Old Testament talks about, we really shouldn't be surprised. If God were to allow our nation to be overrun by some other nation, even a nation more wicked than us, we really shouldn't be all that surprised. Because we have regularly, publicly defied him. We have regularly exalted the wicked. We have regularly, as a nation, cast down the righteous. We have regularly, as a nation, exalted laws and principles that are contrary to his laws. We have regularly cast aspersion and scorn on those laws that are pleasing in his sight. God says that's an abomination. Turns his stomach. Not only do we think about public justice, but think also with me quickly tonight of personal judgments. In other words, now I'm not just thinking about that out there, our judicial system, our legislative system, and not just talking about the media. I'm talking about our own judgments. Remember that Jesus said in John 7:24 to the Pharisees, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And this is something that we also need to evaluate in our own lives. Are we just in our dealings with people? And the reality is that if we're honest with ourselves, there are times, whether it be at our job, among our friends, or even just in the privacy of our own heart, where we may look more favorably upon someone because of the way they look, or because they have common interests with us, or because there's something else about them that we like, and completely overlook or diminish great wickedness that may be going on in their life. In other words, we might excuse it. Let me give you an example of this from my own life. Growing up, I had a really good friend of mine. His name was Eric. I won't tell you his last name just in case. He may come here again. He may come here. He's never been here before. He may come here. Eric, great guy. And he had three sisters. His mom, Eric, and his three sisters came to church every week. And every Sunday night, Eric would sit with me in church. His dad never came to church. Now, I automatically just thought Eric's dad was awesome, amazing, and righteous because of what I knew about Eric's mom and Eric and his sisters. And what I found in my own heart happening was there were some things when I'd be at Eric's house that I would sort of see him doing, and I would just automatically sort of excuse it in my heart. Ah, well, it's not that big of a deal. Whereas if someone else might have done exactly the same thing, I would have been, what a scoundrel, what a rogue, what a nasty character. And what was happening in my heart was I had an uneven set of scales. The reality is, that's so many of our hearts. If you're honest with yourselves, there are some people that someone did something and you like that person, it doesn't matter. Okay? But if it was someone you didn't like, you would cloud up and rain all over them. Right? God calls us to be just people, to have the right set of scales, one law for everyone. Now again, I understand what the scripture says about love covering sin. We understand that. I'm not talking about that sort of thing. I'm talking about our whole disposition, our attitude toward people that comes from the fact that we so often have this uneven set of scales. We like someone. We think they're good looking, and so they can get away with anything. We like someone, they have common interests, they can get away with anything. Whereas if someone else did the same thing that we didn't have the same affection for, we would despise them. God save us from that kind of judgment. That is an unrighteous judgment. Let alone to go so far as to actually know that someone is unrighteous and say that they're righteous. It would be a very difficult thing based on this verse for a Christian to be a defense attorney. And you guys know where I'm going with that. Because so often a defense attorney is required to stand before a court of law and say that his client has done nothing wrong when he knows that his client is as guilty as the devil himself. And I'm not saying a Christian can't be a defense attorney, but it'd be a tough job. We need to be people who are just. We need to be people who do not call good evil and do not call evil good. Whether it's in our own hearts, whether it's among our friends, whether it's with our co-workers, we need to be people that are just. God hates injustice. But let me give you one more area that we can think about this concept of God's justice. Pardon through Jesus. You see, in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 15, you see something said about God that, were it not for the gospel, would leave all of us completely hopeless. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Now, here's the reality of our hearts. Every single one of us, if we line ourselves up according to God's law, find ourselves not in the just column, but the unjust column. We find ourselves in the wicked column. Now, I know our natural tendency is to say, oh, what a good boy am I. We have like a little Jack Horner syndrome. And, oh, what a good boy am I. But the reality is, though Proverbs says that everyone will justify himself, everyone will proclaim his own goodness, a faithful man who can find? And when we look at God's law, we find from top to bottom, beginning with thou shalt have no other gods before me, ending with thou shalt not covet, we find ourselves repeatedly violating God's law. We stand then condemned before God. How then can God, who is just, deal with us? God in his justice would have every right to condemn us and to cast us into hell. But here's the glory of the gospel. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 21. I'm going to walk through this and then we'll close. Paul has just said in verse 20 that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified by his sight. Because basically what the law does, it can't save us, but it can show us where we've fallen short. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Now look with me at verse 21. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now this righteousness here is not the righteousness which God has that Paul's talking about. Paul is talking here about the righteousness that God gives. So let's read further with me. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. So Paul says, okay, you can't be saved by the law, because all the law is going to do for you is to show you that you're a sinner. However, he says, there is a way that you can stand righteous before God, and that's by God giving you righteousness. Who does God give righteousness to? God gives righteousness to those who believe. Well, how can a just God do that? Let's keep reading. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. being justified freely, and that word freely means without any cost, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? Here we're going. Here we're going to Jesus now. What is it about Jesus that allows God to forgive us? Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. That word propitiation is a word that literally means mercy seat. But the idea behind it is Jesus is the sacrifice that satisfies God's demands against us. The sacrifice that satisfies God's wrath. In other words, here's what Paul's saying. We deserve judgment because we're sinners. But God will give righteousness to those who believe because of Jesus. Jesus has borne the sin for us so that God can call us, can count us righteous in his sight because of Jesus' righteousness. Let's keep reading here. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Okay, just really quickly, here he's talking Old Testament. How could God forgive Old Testament saints? In light of Jesus, it's coming. Now verse 26, this is so key. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In other words, God doesn't just sweep our sins away and say, hey, it doesn't matter that you've sinned. Sin is a really big deal. It's such a big deal that God became man to deal with it himself. We could not save ourselves from our sins. We could not save ourselves from God's wrath. But the beauty of the gospel is this, that God came into human history and God lived a perfect life and died for us in Christ so that all who trust in him can be saved. And that's the way that God can be just, because sin is still punished, and God can forgive. He can be a justifier. He doesn't just overlook our sins. He punishes them in Jesus. So then everyone who trusts in Jesus will be saved. And that's the beauty of the gospel. God is not unjust. And even in forgiving sinners, God is just. Because he punishes our sins in Jesus. So let me close with this if we can. I'm talking to people tonight. I think primarily those that are in here would claim to be believers. But I don't know every one of you. And I don't know your hearts. It could be that there are some of you who have never yet trusted Christ. It could be that there are some of you who are thinking, I'm good enough to make it on my own. I want to tell you this. You cannot save yourself. And when you say, I'm good enough, you're actually violating Proverbs 17:50. Because you're calling yourself just. God knows the truth. God knows your heart. And I want to tell you this evening, there's hope, but that hope is not found in you. That hope is found in Jesus. If you'll run to the cross, if you'll lay down your rebellion, lay down your sin, turn and believe in Jesus, trust in Jesus, he will save you. You will know then God not only as a judge, but as your Savior.